I don't know about you. Didn't Yom HaAtzmaut seem to like creep up on you this year? It seems like right around the corner. So Rav Eli asked me to speak about Yom HaAtzmaut, which is obviously a great joy. And he said, if you could throw in, who said, if you throw in Yom HaShoah, and
also... only because it's a week and a half away, and Yom HaShoah is first.
Right.
You don't have to.
Yom HaZikaron, in 7 minutes or less, that'd be good. So,
Actually, I already did it in my introduction at the beginning.
So. Oh, you did?
Okay. You're Yotze if you don't want.
Terrific. So I went to Moshe Rav Kook to the sale to pick up a book, which they wouldn't sell me, because they don't sell individual books. Whatever. Anyway, and on that, while it was not a total loss, as while I was on the checkout line, they had just put out this book called Zeh Hayom Asa Hashem, right? Which is the writing, Zionist writings of Rav Shaul Yisraeli. Who was Rav Yisraeli? I have kindly given you a bio, which I have to now read with you. Okay, Rav Shaul Yisraeli was one of the distinguished rabbis of religious Zionism. He served as a rabbi and a dayan in the Supreme Religious Court in Israel, as a member of the Chief Rabbinic Council, the Moetzet, Rabbanut Rashid. And he was, of course, Rosh Yeshiva B'Yeshivat Merkaz Harav, as well as president of Eretz Chemda. And so if you all, anybody here know or heard of Eretz Chemda? So if you're looking for, like, if you want for Brenta, religious Zionist Torah, you're going to go straight to Rav Yisraeli. And they also just put out, it's called Siach Shaul, which is commentary on his, he has commentary on the Parsha, as well as also on Yamim Narayim, if I recall. So I picked up the book. And what? What's it called? That I haven't seen.
It's an old one. Though.
What?
How long has it been?
Yeah. Okay. So I'm actually want to skip to the second piece, the page number, the one with the picture on. No, the second page. Okay. And if we have time, which we won't, okay, we'll go to the first one. Rabbi Yisraeli asked a question. It's interesting. I'll start with a short story. So I teach at Orot, and I work at Orot, Michlelet Orot Yisrael, Orot Israel College, and. And often, very often, I give rides to young women who need to get from there to here and here to there and everywhere in between. Okay, so I'm giving a tramp to a student, and this must have been 4 or 5 years ago. And she obviously, I sometimes like to schmooze with them. And she says, Harav, I have to ask you a question. I said, sure. She said, I know you came from America. She says, we have cousins who live in Passaic, New Jersey. Okay, this is a girl who's grown up in Israel, but her cousins are growing up in America. She says, every summer my grandparents or somehow, not every summer, once in a while, every few years we go and we visit and we try to talk to them about making aliyah, as all good, dedicated, datit zioni Israelis do. They try to convince their wayward, religious, cousins in America to see the light and come to move to Israel. And she said, but last we were talking, and they said, listen, we live in Passaic. It's in a very religious community. Those of you who've never been to Passaic look at me with blank stares, but you can trust me, it's fine. Very religious community, great shuls, beautiful schools, you can get kosher pizza any time of day or night, everything we need. What do we want to move to Israel for? She said, Harav, this is all in the middle of the trip. What am I supposed to tell them? I didn't know what to tell them. That is exactly the question. I have my answer. Okay, I have a few. I have a few answers. But that is the question that Rabbi Sa'evi addresses, and he ends up with a piece from Rav Kook. So I'll read it together. It's relatively all these pieces are not so long, which makes them easy to digest. Okay, ein safek. There is no doubt. He says, "Sheatzmaut midinit shel Am Yisrael be'eretz Yisrael hi achat ha'haftachot ha'ikariot v'Torah." That independence of the Jewish people. In the land of Israel, the Jewish nation, the land of Israel, is one of the primary promises of the Torah. Va'ashbor motot ulchem, va'olech etchem komamiyut. And I will break the bonds of your yoke, and I will make you walk komamiyut, upright. It's fascinating to me. I just want to point out, when you read about im b'chukotai teilechu, right? If you follow in my commandments, v'natati gishmechem b'itam, you'll have rain the proper time, v'natar etzibula, etc., etc., etc. Okay. And it says, one second. You mind if I borrow this for a second? This is a chumash?
That's not
okay. Right. There's a quote that I was like, that people think that, when Mashiach comes, everything's going to be perfect. Okay? But it's important to point out the idea of this utopia seems a little far-fetched. For example, it says, Uradaftem et oyvechem v'naflu lich lifnechem l'charev. You will chase after your enemies and they will befall you. V'arfu mikem chamisha meyah, u'meyah mikem revayu dofu. Five of you will chase 100, and 100 of you will chase 10,000. In our vision, one second, who's enemies? Are we all supposed to get along together? Like, you know, how could it possibly be that we have enemies? Right? People think that, but that's not true. The Torah says, if you follow in the Torah, it doesn't mean you're not going to have enemies. It doesn't mean you're going to live in this peace kumbaya where no one's going to hate you. No, it means you're going to have the upper hand. They're going to be afraid of you. That's what it means. So this idea that, you know, it can't be, you know, we're living in a time of bracha because what about Hamas? What about Hezbollah? That's true. All things are true, but who's afraid of who? Who has the upper hand? What is the Torah? The Torah guarantees, doesn't guarantee that they're not going to attack you, that you're not going to have enemies, but instead that you're going to be upright, you're going to be stand strong. That's one of the primary promises of the Torah. Hadugma ha-mukhashit sha-yitziyat mitzrayim bereshit sa'adav shel ha'am higam piskat ha-brachot la'atid lavo. This dugma mukhashit, this tangible example of the exodus of Egypt, okay, bereshit sa'adav, when the Jewish people first went out, okay, is also the piskah, the sea, the piskah, the summit of the brachot in the future. Right, kitzotza'a b'ra mikiyuma shel Torah. It's a clear fulfillment of the Torah. Im b'chukotai te'lecho, he says. Okay? He says, that's im b'chukotai te'lecho. If you follow in the land, ba'olich etchem kum amiyut, you will stand up. I will make you go and stand up straight, stand upright. Ulam, zoi bracha elokit. V'kshura im binyan ha-mikdash, v'chazon achrit ha-yamim. Okay? But that's a God-given promise. Connected to, of course, the building of the Beit HaMikdash, the end of days. Kasher nachon yeh har beit Hashem b'rosh ha'arim, v'alchu ha'amim rabim v'amru l'chu v'na'ale al Hashem el beit Elokei Yisrael. So that's all fine and good because im chukotai te'lechu, and you're going to have the brachot, but of course God will be in our midst. There'll be a Beit HaMikdash. There'll be the existence of God within us. Everybody will see it. The nations of the world will see it. But what about now? Aval achayim yesh ba'atzmaut Yisrael gam erech dati. Says, but what about before that? What about this interim stage? What about this time when we have independence of the Jewish people, but we don't have the ultimate blessing? We don't have that final step. We don't have the full redemption. Is there some religious value to the state of Israel in and of itself? Aim milvada bracha sheyeshna ba'atzmaut medinit. Aside from it's a bracha that you have independence. That's great. Biyoteni bilti tluyim b'shrirut libam ochazam shel shlitei nechar v'amei nechar. We are an independent Jewish state. As much as people complain that America tells us what to do, we do have the ability to say no. We can say no. We might not want to always say no, but sometimes we can say, sorry, this doesn't work for us. Up until that point, until the point of independence, we were always completely dependent upon whatever somebody else told us to do and how to do it. Yeah, but he says, okay, so that's a blessing. Who can deny? Nobody can deny that independence is a blessing. But the Yeshiva is the gum Yi'ud. Does it also have Yehud is from Ya'ad, destiny. Does it also have religious destiny? Hashayla yid charifa b'myuchad im nitan litgorer b'artzot ba'alot mishtarim demokratia v'kakala yitziva. Let's say he lived in a democratically elected land with a stable economy. Ba'ofen shenitan lachiyot b'revacha u'be'en mafriya l'kayim mitzvot ha-Torah b'tor yachid. So that you could, for example, live a Torah lifestyle, okay, without impediment and fulfill the Torah. Fulfill Torah, for example, like if you wanted to live in, for example, Passaic, New Jersey. Va'af l'kayem chayim kihilatiyim. You could also live a communal life. Ki az yesh ha'atzma'ut ha-medinit eina musif ha-kum. Someone could suggest that this national atzma'ut independence doesn't add anything. Oh, we live in Yad Binyamin, we've got beautiful mikvah. We have a beautiful community. We have wonderful shuls. Shiurim all the time. Daf yomi. People have shiurim in their homes. Okay, they got the empathic. It's fine. Hey, nitani yasod yeshivot ulharbot Torah. Right there, that you can have yeshivot. Vaf lefatech mostot chesed utzdakah. V'chein in bayot kashrut, shabbat, yotze be'ot, mikot. V'nitani yistaderitam. Right, if you have problems, you can figure them out. V'ulai af b'yeter hidur. You can even be more mehader in Chutz La'aretz, right? The chief rabbi of Pesach, I'm sure, is not selling the chametz of the guy in Wegmans who owns Wegmans without his knowledge against his own will. Anybody who's in there who heard a shiur about it, fascinating shiur. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to make crazy compromises. we can have our community, we have our kehillah, we don't have to worry about the hamunam. You can have even more hiddur. You can, in a certain way. Mikol shekein, im ha'atzmaut ha'medinit kucha bekashiyim, if national independence brings difficulties, v'af b'milchamot, and wars, shegam im nigmarot v'nitzachon, harei im l'mahim me'obdam nefashot, we win in the end, but it still costs lives. Ha'im zekol kedai? Is it really worth it? If the whole purpose is living a religious life, who needs it? So yeah, great, we have an independent state. If we could guarantee that we wouldn't have an independent state, chas v'shalom, we would give it all up to Mahmoud Abbas, our good friend. And they would say, you're in control, but as long as you guarantee us in perpetuity, religious Jewish life. We can have as many kolim as we want, we can have as many chadarim as we want. Would there be any difference? So he says, okay, I'll give you a few answers. He has a few answers. And I will give you the ultimate answer in the end. Oskim b'zeh anshei politika b'mifflegot ha-tzionot. Okay, so everybody is involved in this question. Atshuva ikarit b'zeh hi. He says, let's be honest. The whole idea, the theoretical Mahmoud Abbas idea is nice on paper, but it's theoretical. Shebe'ein atzmut ein bitachon nekiyumeinu. First and foremost, understand, without independence, there is no guarantee of our continued existence. Hargashot and antishemim kayamim, rikshot, and you know, as much as great as Passaic is, it's not that far from Kansas City, right? And as nice as the insular Jewish communities like to consider themselves, anti-Semitism does exist. It could break out at any time, at any moment. Ukehochacha, as a proof. We don't have to. You asked me about to mention Yom HaShoah, right? It's you know. So as much as you'd like to say the theoreticals and how great it is in Hendon or Cape Town or wherever you want to say it is, and it's great, right? Let us not forget for a moment the underlying the hidden reality of anti-Semitism. And that as much as we like to convince ourselves that it doesn't exist, and as much as we like to enjoy the freedoms that we enjoy, let's not kid ourselves. Okay. V'ilu hayta kayemet medina b'frotz milchemet ha'olam ha'shniya, if there was a Jewish state at the outbreak of the Second World War, az ein safek shelo hayta shoah mgi'a lememadim ke'elu. It would have been a shoah. It wouldn't have been anything compared to what it was. That's what he says. Okay? That's number one. The purpose of the state of Israel is to guarantee Jewish continuity and Jewish existence. And as a state, the state guarantees that. Without a state, you're always subject to the whims and wishes of someone else. You know, I was thinking about it yesterday. I was listening to a podcast that I enjoy, talking about immigration reform. And I'm somehow still connected to politics in America. So it's a big issue of immigration reform. There's 10 million illegal immigrants. So the problem is, the whole immigration laws don't make any sense. They make no sense whatsoever. Because immigration is limited in America, it's equal no matter what country you come from. So Israel has the same quota as India. Even though Israel has like 6 million people, and India has a lot more. Okay, does that make any sense? No. And the whole thing makes no sense at all. So where did it come from? America used to have open borders until the mid-1870s, when somebody decided, they're taking all our jobs. All the Chinese are taking our jobs. And then they realized it's not just Chinese are taking our jobs, who's taking our jobs? All the Irish. And after the Irish, who was it? Basically, the Jews. It became, and I started to think to myself, the processes of history, you know, they sort of wend their way, and somehow it all ends up in something, you know, in anti-Semitism. That's all, somehow, you know. Who can deny it? Anyway. He says, that's all your own tshuva. That's one answer. First answer is, we need a state to preserve ourselves, to guarantee our existence. And we should never deny that. When we celebrate Yom HaTzma'ut, I think we sometimes take that for granted. Now, of course we need a Jewish state. Never, ever take that for granted, because our grandparents didn't have it. And that's something we should, first and foremost, give great thanks to God that we have this great blessing today. You can argue. Okay, we're not gonna expand. We're not gonna talk too long. Yeshna gam tosefet. is another answer. Shebetnaya avacha shebehem chai kiyom chedek chashuv mitvutza yudit bayom. It's true that much of the Jewish community in the world today, in the diaspora, lives with great in relative comfort. But there's a problem with that. That great comfort that Jewish community lives in, and he's writing this in Tavshin Mem Vav. So we're now 28 years later. What were the rates of intermarriage in 28 years ago? In 86. What were the intermarriage rates? They were just starting to talk about, if things keep going the way they're going, the American Jewish community is going to be, going to have intermarriage rates of 20%. Lo aleinu. What wouldn't we give today for 20%? So he says, Jewish life is great for those few yichidei skula who enjoy Jewish life, who care. But the more comfort you have, mi'inyan ze davka zichron eimei ha-shoah v'iha v'hirut shel ha-matzav la'atid me'ave me'it l'itbolelut v'zo nosaf l'tnai ha-vacha shebehem chayim kula kayom hazeh. Okay? The clarity of the future, okay, encourage to some degree the fact that we have zichron eimei ha-shoah v'i ha-behirut shel ha-matzav la'atid. Okay, the lack of clarity in the future, me'ava me'itz lehitbolelut. Me'itz, someone help me out here?
Accelerates.
Right. And actually, the farther away we get from Yom HaShoah, the more we're now two generations removed. Right? The survivors are almost gone. It's now becoming a sort of an intellectual exercise. There's no one to remind us anymore. We'll watch the movies and everything. But I knew someone, right? We knew someone who was a survivor. Our children won't know someone, won't have known someone who was a survivor. So what's the Holocaust? It's no longer an active memory, it's a passive memory. It's now like Tisha B'Av. We don't really associate, we don't really relate to it. And now Israel's struggling with it. The farther away, Israel always had a very strong identity. But the farther away we get from Yom HaShoah, the more it's no longer clear in our minds. So if you're not connected to the state of Israel, the land of Israel, and Medinat Israel, and all the values, it becomes harder to associate. It becomes easier to intermarry, to assimilate. Avzoi tshuva, it's another answer on the second paragraph on the top of the next column. Avgam hi ena tshuva nitzachad. It's not an eternal answer. But that doesn't help. Oh, what about assimilation intermarriage? It doesn't help this girl's cousin growing up, who's sending her kids to Cheder and Pesach, because she's not concerned about assimilation. Is that fair to say? Most people in the religious community, most people in the Frum Orthodox community, they're not worried about assimilation. They worry about it. We worry about it as a Jewish problem. But we don't worry about it as a personal problem, not by and large. And truth be told, is it really that much better in Israel? I mean, it's better in the way that most people you're going to marry are Jewish. But religious life, secular life exists here all the same. So it's not such a great answer. Right? And what do you say to the person who's chayet, is living chayet Torah mitzvot? Hanoten liyaladav chinuch yehudi ne'eman, v'asher chay gam b'sviva yehudit b'chul. He lives in a Jewish environment, shomer Torah, mechusan b'midah rabah mebli pachit bolut. He's not worried about it. V'mamnam gam kan itan litvakeach. Yeah, you could argue. Achat shuva ina chad mashmait. Okay, he says, so we have two answers. One, why in Israel? Is there a religious value? So first answer, did not give religious value. Survival of the Jewish people. Important, but not a religious importance. It's a tactical importance. Second is, it prevents intermarriage and assimilation. Also important, but you can argue. And he says, Acherti gishatel shel Maran Rav Zatzal. Rav Zatzal, obviously in Israel, the Rav is not Rav Soloveitchik, it's Rav Kook. The Medina Israelit ulatzmauti medinit. Hu ba la'amid otanu al hatochen hadati sheyesh b'medina. Rav Kook taught us about the religious content of the state. She'im omnam b'tor yechidim efshar l'kayim et ha-Torah b'chol makom shehu. Yes, as individuals, we can fulfill the Torah in any place. V'gam b'tor chol tana'im shehem, in any conditions. Ha'im b'tor ha'am b'tor am, but in the nation, as a nation, we have a greater task as a nation, which cannot be fulfilled unless you are as a nation. This is what Rav Kook wrote. Bereshit Mata'o Shel Ha'am Hazeh. Okay, in at the head of the staff of this nation, Nidgalta Hashi'ifa Lahakim Tzibur Enoshi Gadol. There was the desire to establish a community, a human community, a great human community, who would fulfill the guidance, the way of God, to do justice and kindness. So, meaning it's not the goal of each individual to keep the Torah, but rather, the goal is that we create a community of humanity, a nation that would fulfill the Torah. Zoi ashiva shibima mikocha hakara b'ra ba'aza. Okay, this comes out of the strong, clear recognition, v'atviah musarita kolelet, and the ethical demand, the all-encompassing ethical demand, v'arama, lotziat anushiyut mitachat sevel narashat zarot. We have this communal, national responsibility to remove humanity from the great suffering of tzarot, ruchaniyut v'chomriyut, spiritual and physical. We are supposed to redeem mankind. The Jewish people have a mission. This is what's beautiful about reading Rav Kook. Like, you know, we're worried about our own problems, and every other sefer is worried about, like, you read Rabbanim about doing this mitzvah, doing that mitzvah. Rav Kook was like, he wasn't there. He's up here. He's like, what's our job? And our job isn't just to teach our children. Our job isn't just to raise our families and build our community. Our job is to save the world. Our job is to change humanity. Our job is to do that. How do we do that? We have to bring the world into spirituality and religiousness. We have to worry about every human being. We have to worry about the Indian in India and the Chinese in China. We have to change the world. The milu'ash al she'ifazu. To fulfill this yearning, this goal, צריך דווקא שיהיה ציבור זה בעל מדינה פוליטית וסוציאלית. It should be, he says, socialist. I don't think he means in that way, but a political, social community. וכיסא ממלכה לאומית ברוב התרבות האנושית. Right? It has to be a nation, a country, at the top of humanity, of the culture of humanity. עם חכם ונבון הגוי הגדול הזה. Right? The Torah says, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Kimi goy gadol, like they're going to look at us and say, "Wow, this is an incredible nation." V'ha'idiyah elokit ha'muchleket mashalet shama, right? This of the spiritual ideal is fulfilled in that place. U'mechayeh ta'am v'ta'aretz b'ma'or hazeh, and it lights. It's the city on the hill. It's not a city on the hill. It's the country on a hill. Familiar with the famous 1986 speech, "The City on the Hill"? Mario Cuomo, nobody. Okay, great speech. Anyway. I'm sure it's on YouTube now. Okay? The mandat, he said the truth, lo rak yechidim chachami tzuyanim. Individuals, as they could be excellent, they could be amazing, they could be wise. Chasidim nizirim anche kodesh. Chayim goor ha'idea lokit. Ki gam amim shleimim. It takes whole nations. Hakololim betocham et hashedrot anashiyot. Right? That include within them the backbones of humanity. Min rom intelligentsia emunatit. Right, the exalted faith, intelligence, hafrosh pushit, hamaskelet vakedusha ad amarchot haruchavot, hasocialiot, hapolitiot, vakalkaliot, vaad haproletarion. He's using Russian words. The proletariat, the chol pagotav, afilu hayoter nimuchot umugushamot. You want to change the world? You can't do it as individuals. You can't do it as a community. A shul in Pasea can't change the world. All a shul in Pasea can do is create an environment where Judaism, qua Judaism, can flourish. But if you want to influence the rest of the world, you have to be a nation. The only way we were able to even begin to dream up that ideal was when we declared our independence. The first step to the redemption of the world was Yom Ha'atzmaut, was the day the Jewish people said, we are once again an independent nation, a free nation on our own land. Because at that period of time, at that moment, we began to build the country that will one day, not what could, will one day be the source and example for the rest of the world to look to. And to be honest, it's not that hard, far-fetched to see. Even today, you know, like it's such a, you know, if you're in these things, like the world does know about Israel. Israel is an amazing story. you know, they write books about Israel. I mean, like, I like to do a comparison. Like, economically, Israel and Haiti were at exactly the same place in 1948. Same population, same economy. Haiti is in the same place today as it is, as it was in 1948, even worse. And Israel is, you know, we know the stuff, the OECD, you know, first world nation. It's an incredible success story. So all you got to do is take that, and if we could somehow translate that growth, that physical growth, that amazing transformation into a spiritual transformation, people would say, that's incredible. How do we get some of that? You know, even here today, the Chinese are learning Gemara. Why are the Chinese learning Gemara? Because there's got to be something. They have to be doing something, right? The whole world does. So it's, we're seeing the beginnings of that. But the Chinese, China doesn't look to the Jewish community of, you know, San Francisco or Los Angeles or Chicago or, you know, Johannesburg. It doesn't matter how great the community is. That's a community. That's a group of people. They can do whatever they want. But when you build a country, when you build a nation, then you can start thinking about changing the world. That's a religious value. And that happened, said Rav Kook, on Yom HaTzma'ut. Yehud Zeh, says thank you, Israeli. This Yehud, this destiny, b'tafkid zeh lo nitan lemalei ki'im b'yot am Yisrael ba'medina atzma'it. When the Jewish people are a medina atzma'it, an independent state. Shemedina gam ba'amalach ha'medinim b'yachasim ha'bein le'umiyim, that has a state, okay, through its national life and its international relations, u'behezder yachasim ha'pniyim b'chevra Yisraeli atzma, yemurgash ha'inyan ha'eluhi ha'mechayeh kol ha'olamot kulam. Right, this spiritual thing will be felt. You know, it's also like you see it. As our religious community grows, as more religious people become more prominent within their national government, so there will come a time when the Prime Minister of Israel will insist on eating kosher in the White House, and we'll make a bracha, and we'll give thanks to God. It's happened. And we're going to be proud of it. The same way, like, you know, if you ever see, you follow, you know, Naftali Bennett's in India, and he's in some hothouse, and they're showing him how they taught the Indian farmers how to create these hothouses, where before they were creating 1 kilo of cucumbers per whatever, and now they're building 8. So Bennett takes the cucumber, he says, can I taste it? And they say, sure, take one. He pulls one off, he makes a borei pri adama, and he eats the cucumber. They don't know what he's doing, but he's making a bracha, and that's a kiddush Hashem. And he didn't make a big deal out of it. And there's going to come a time where, you know, Prime Minister of Israel is going to make a bracha on whatever, and no one's going to think twice about it. Because that's normal and natural, and why not? And it's not some guy invited by, you know, the President of the United States as a representative of the Jewish community of. No, it's the representative of the people of the state of Israel. The Jewish people who live in an independent state of Israel. That's necessary. Okay? B'zeh mishum shenishmata shel Knesset Yisrael hi atzedek ha-muchlat. The soul of Knesset Yisrael is the ultimate righteousness. The segel, the sagel atzmeinu tfisa zu. In order to set for ourselves this goal, this ideal, l'chiyot gam et chayinu ha'pratim l'or ha'idiya Elohi tamirat d'archinu b'tor am anukriim. We're called to this goal, to this vision of living as a nation, as a model for the rest of the world. Zeyiten tochen l'chayinu. It gives us content to our lives. V'ometz la'amod b'tanayim ha'kashim b'hem anu nutuim k'yom hazeh. And strength to withstand the difficulties that we face at this particular time. And whatever difficulties we face at any time. Is it worth it? It's a very interesting question, because it's lofty and exalted and true, but it's hard to see in your daily life. You're going to work and going to shul. Our daily life, it's hard to see. So that's not the answer. I just want to conclude. So of course Rav Kook's answer is correct and a great answer, and it's a great reason to celebrate Yom HaTzma'ut. But it's not the answer I gave to the student of Passaic. She said, what can I tell my cousins to make them see the difference between life in Israel? I said to her, I don't think you could. Said, imagine trying to teach someone, to tell someone who was born colorblind. You tell them, listen, you can undergo this operation, which is going to be painful and difficult, but afterwards you'll be able to see in color. And I say, what does that mean to see in color? See, did you see? It's a red tablecloth, and you see red and blue, and the world is that much richer and that much more beautiful. And I say, but I see a tablecloth. It's beautiful to me right now. Why would I undergo an operation in order to see? I could see fine. Because they have no ability to comprehend, to appreciate the color, which they themselves don't experience. how do you explain to someone, of course you can go to the Jewish store and buy kosher food in Passaic, but it's different when you go to the grocery store in Kiryat Malachi, you know, in Big Castina, just buying groceries is different. It's not the same, because you're buying groceries in the Jewish state. And yeah, it's sometimes the kasher is even more complicated here than it is over there. And God only knows, I bought a roast today. I'm not sure if it was a 4, 5, or 7. I have no idea what this was like. Right? It's more complicated. It is more complicated. But I bought it in Medina Israel. And so if you're listening to this, I'm going to put it on YU Torah or whatever. You're listening to this in Passaic and you have no idea what I'm talking about. That's exactly my point. Because everyone sitting here knows exactly what I'm talking about. And that's the leap of faith that we all took. And hopefully if you're listening to Passaic, you should take as well.